We have Libertarian Party candidate Jonathan Dine, who is from Kansas City. He's a personal trainer. He drew the choice of drawing first, speaking first in our opening statements here today. Sitting next to him, we have Democratic Secretary of State Robin Carnahan. Next to her, we have Republican Congressman Roy Blunt. And closest to me, we have Constitution Party candidate Jerry Beck, who's from Sedalia, a retired businessman. I think we're ready to start. So, Jonathan, if you would, your opening statement.
I just prepared a few remarks here, but I first want to thank the Missouri Press Association for putting on a fair forum for all the candidates to participate in. My name is Jonathan Dine. I am the Libertarian candidate for the U.S. Senate, and I've decided to run for this office because I believe this country is in dire need of a better representation of the people. Our current politicians have kind of forgotten what life is like outside of politics. Now is the time for more ordinary Americans to stand up and take an active role. I believe that the Democrat and Republican politicians have created the status quo and do not intend to change it. They have strayed from the original purpose of the protection of your life, liberty, and property. As a libertarian, I believe the answer to America's political problems is the same commitment to freedom that earned America its greatness, a free market economy, and the abundance of prosperity it brings, a dedication to civil liberties and personal freedom that marks this country above all others, and a foreign policy of non-intervention, peace, and free trade as prescribed by our founders. In the last few decades, the federal government has exploded in size. No area of your life or business is free from the meddling of politicians, especially your wallet. It does not have to be this way. With less government and lower taxes, you could keep more of what you earn. It would be easier to build new businesses, new homes, and fuel economic growth. Providing basic government services such as police, court, and military defense should cost a fraction of what we pay now in taxes. Unlike my opponents, I believe every American is entitled to keep the fruits of their labor. As your senator, I will call for the repeal of the personal income tax. Prior to 1913, the federal government ran fine for the first 137 years without having to stick its hand in the pockets of Americans. I also believe criminal laws should be limited to the violation of rights of others through force and fraud. As your senator, I will work hard to repeal all laws creating crimes without victims, such as the use of marijuana for recreational or medical purposes. In short, I will work to restore the government to its proper role, your protector and not your master.
Second speaking for opening remarks is Roy Blunt.
Well, thank you, David, and thanks to the Missouri Press Association for hosting this this discussion today. We'll see if it turns into a real debate, if it's anything about the issues that Missourians are concerned about, because they are concerned about the issues. Sometime last week, I had my 800th political event in Missouri in the last 18 months. In all 114 counties, at dozens of jobs roundtables, lots of input on our jobs plan that you could find at royblunt.com. But in those discussions, I've seen an engagement in the issues that I've never seen before in the political discussions in our state, starting with where are the private sector jobs, why is the federal government spending so much more money than it's ever spent before, and real concerns about a health care plan that they think won't work for them and their family, concerns about a stimulus plan that didn't work and now somebody's kids owe $800 billion that nobody owed to anybody 18 months ago, a cap and trade scheme that in our state would double the utility bill in about a decade, and bad tax policies that discourage job creation. In fact, at all those jobs roundtables we've had, people start out by saying, well, there's way too much uncertainty. And then they quickly get to the point that the fact is there's way too much certainty that if the current agenda continues, health care costs are out of the employer's control for the first time ever, their utility bill in our state would double, their taxes would go up, and somebody talks every day about more regulation. We ought to be concerned about creating private sector jobs. You know, government jobs don't pay the bill. Government jobs are the bill. And we need some government jobs. I was a high school teacher. It was my first job out of college. In fact, I'm the first person in my family to ever graduate from college. And that was a government job. And we need some government jobs. Once they get out of proportion to the rest of the economy, the rest of the economy doesn't grow. We need to be focusing on opportunity for Americans and continuing to have the greatest country in the history of the world.
Speaking third for opening remarks, Robin Carnahan.
Well, thanks, David, and thanks to the Press Association for having us and everyone else for joining us today. As you know, my family served Missouri for many, many years, and the values that I learned growing up in Rolla, like using common sense to fix things when they're broken, are how I've lived my life, whether that's been working on the farm or whether that's been serving as Secretary of State. In office, I've tried to stand up for consumers. I've recovered over $10 billion from big financial institutions and cut costs and red tape for businesses. At the same time, we cut our office budget by 20%. But we're here to talk today about the U.S. Senate race, so I want to just cut to the chase. To me, it's about three things. First, how we're going to fix our economy and create jobs again. Second, how we're going to stop out-of-control spending in Washington. And third, how we're going to fix this broken culture in Washington where the deck is stacked against regular people and in favor of the lobbyists and the special interests. There's only one of us here today, and that's Congressman Blunt, who's been in Washington for 14 years. He supported corporate bailouts and wasteful earmarks. He supported privatizing Social Security and sweetheart deals for campaign contributors and lobbyists. And he's even voted 12 times to raise his own pay. And my priorities, they're different. I actually think Congress should take a pay cut until you balance the budget. But what has happened in Congressman Blunt's 14-year tenure, most of that time as one of the top leaders in the House? Here's what's happened. Our economy's gotten wrecked. Wall Street got a bailout. Special interests made out like bandits. And we got stuck with the bill. Nobody in Missouri thinks that's a record that deserves a promotion. But these days, Missourians are most concerned about jobs. You've mentioned it here today, private sector jobs, Congressman, which makes me wonder why you have voted repeatedly for tax breaks that ship jobs overseas. I'd like all the candidates here to take a pledge. Raise your hands if you want, if you're against tax breaks to ship jobs overseas. How about you, Mr. Beck? Where are you on that?
Well, my name is Jerry Beck, and first of all, I would like to thank the
Jerry.
So two of us are against tax breaks. Just have the record note, two of us are against tax breaks to ship jobs overseas.
Jerry, it is now your turn to deliver your opening statement.
Well, once again, I would like to thank the Associated Press for inviting us here. It's very kind of you to do that, and we appreciate it. At least you have the dignity and the honor to stand up and have everybody up here, because there are viable candidates besides the two major politicians that are running. My name's Jerry Beck, and years ago, I served my country honorably and proudly in the United States Marine Corps as a Special Forces 2nd Reconnaissance Battalion Marine. And now I'm ready to serve my country once again as a U.S. Senator in the state of Missouri. I see what they've been doing in Washington, D.C. They've been sending our jobs overseas along with our factories, our technicians, and our technology. But the most grievous thing they have done, they have sent our electronics overseas. The reason I know this is because I am a businessman, and I've been in manufacturing all my life, and I've produced many products from modular housing to stainless steel products to boats. But what the most grievous thing is, the electronics, well, is the most highly sought-after product in the world. It will produce more money than all the oil companies, the car companies, anybody, by twofold. It is the main theme of the economy of a nation. If you do not have your electronics and control of your electronics and you turn it over to socially enslaved nations of the world, we are in serious trouble. What I pretend to do is to do the policies, the procedures, and the solutions by which to bring this back. I have designed this. I am the only one up here that has designed anything like this because I am a businessman. What we must do is restore our factories, restore our jobs. All the other tax breaks and tax hikes and everything is useless because that will not do anything. To redo our infrastructure is fine, but it was only like a touch on the pinhead. We have not in our executive branch in Washington, D.C., one good businessman that's been in business all his life and has produced products, has paid a payroll, and has brought dollars in.
Thank you, Jerry. It's now time for the question portion of our forum, and I'll ask the first question. For those of you who are interested in asking questions, you may want to make your way to the microphone while they deliver their answers so we can keep it moving. The first question. In 2008, Congress passed a bill authorizing $700 billion to bail out troubled financial institutions in an effort to aid the economy. In 2009, Congress passed an $814 billion stimulus spending plan, again, in an effort to aid the economy. From your perspective, Which of these has done more to help the economy? And this question goes first to you, Jerry.
Neither one. First of all, you cannot borrow money to sustain the economy. You've got to produce a product that will bring in a dollar. If you do not bring in your dollar and able to pay a payroll, you're not able to produce taxation for our government or our programs. It is not good to borrow money and not know how to pay it back. These people in Washington, D.C., I'm talking about the executive branch, haven't the foggiest idea what they're doing. What they're doing is they're leading this nation down the destructive road to bankruptcy. If they don't get a handle on everything, within a year and a half, America will begin to crash. China in 2 years will begin to, or before. I look for right after this election for a downswing in the economy. Whether that'll come or not, I don't know, but I'm a businessman and I see it. We must pull together and walk shoulder to shoulder and do political feasibility to come out of this. One party or two parties are not going to bring us out of it. It's going to take all four parties to get this nation straightened out. If we don't do this, we are going to be in a very bad situation. We can't pay our police. We're laying off our teachers in Kansas City and St. Louis, shutting one-third of our schools. This is not right. These teachers do not have a salary. They have to go to the unemployment line to be able to get by.
Thank you, Jerry. Roy Blunt.
David, I agree with Mr. Beck that clearly, given the choice of ideology or jobs, the current administration has chosen ideology every time. And you hear that the first time you sit down with small business people, with job creators. There's a reason they're not creating those jobs. And to answer your question, I thought the stimulus package was a huge mistake. It was a huge waste of money. It didn't have the impact on the economy that the president promised. And we should have known from day one that it wouldn't have. Now, it had a good impact on Robin Carnahan's brother's wind farm, who got $107 million dollars. And I said billion, almost made a mistake. I'll tell you why. The first time my staff called and said, Vice President Biden just announced this wind farm grant, and they told me it's $107 million, I said, surely you mean $1.7 million. They said, no, it's $107. I said, no, maybe it's 10.7. No, it's $107 billion. And I said, it's a loan guarantee. No, it's a gift. It's a grant. It doesn't have to be paid back. It was the 12th largest stimulus energy project in the country. It didn't make sense. TARP will be paid back. This $800 billion will never be paid back, and somebody's kids owe it that didn't know anything 18 months ago.
Robin Carnahan.
The Wall Street bailout failed to deliver as promised. Congressman Blunt was one of the leaders that pushed that. I understand why he did. He has lots of friends and supporters on Wall Street. They've given him $1.5 million in his campaign. But it didn't do as promised. It's helped the balance sheets of the Wall Street banks. They paid the biggest bonuses in their history, and we've seen record profits again for the second year running. It didn't help small businesses in our state, and it certainly didn't stop the foreclosure crisis. This attack that he knows is false about the stimulus is laughable if it weren't so sad that you would do this, Congressman, and stoop to this level. Papers all over the state, including your hometown newspaper, have said it was false. I have a whole list of them here if you'd like to see it. You know it's not true. I wasn't in Washington. I've been in Jefferson City. He's the one who's been in Washington. I've got nothing to do with my brother's business, but it's curious to me that you're attacking somebody who's creating jobs in our state. Why are you doing that? Is it because you're in the pocket of the oil industry? It might be. I think we need to get off our addiction to foreign oil. And so don't have these charges against my family. You know they're not true. They're below you as a person. And what you need to do is understand we've got to get off our addiction to foreign oil. And by doing that, we create American jobs.
Jonathan Dine.
The bailout of the banks really just rewarded mismanagement of corporations. My personal experience with Bank of America, anytime that I'm under my account, they kick me while I'm down and hit me with as many overdraft charges as possible. The $814 billion spending stimulus, it's spending money on things that are already supposed to be paid for. We have a 48 cents on every gallon of gas that goes towards highway fund. But throwing money at limited sectors of the economy like construction is no way to foster job growth. I hear a lot about the government trying to create jobs, but it's not really the government's responsibility to create jobs, but to provide an environment to foster job growth by removing barriers to start up businesses, by lowering taxes to make it easier to start, but just to create the environment where it's easier to start business and foster entrepreneurship. But spending ourselves into prosperity is kind of a laughable idea. I know that most of us, when we get too much into debt, spending more is not going to necessarily be better for us. So I think neither of the bills actually did what they were promised.
We're going to offer a 30-second rebuttal here. Jerry, it would be your chance to go first in speaking order if you would wish to say anything more.
Well, what I see is I see America traveling down a destructive road. If our nation keeps traveling down this path, our families, our children, and their grandchildren will be enslaved to the burdens that this system and this party has put upon them. They will never know the freedoms that you and I have once had, that so many have fought and died for, from Iwo Jima to Okinawa to Saipan to Guam to Mariana Islands to Midway and to Japan to Belleau Woods and to Germany and Berlin. I hope that these people will abide by our Constitution and our all-important Bill of Rights. I, Jerry Beck, have taken a pledge to abide by our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and try to bring this nation back to some sort of sanity, because what they're doing in Washington, D.C. is insane. It will not work. Their system won't work. It's going to collapse us. We've got to get some people in office, some businessmen in
Jerry,
office.
Jerry, your time is up, Jerry. Roy Blunt?
Well, David, on the $107 million, you better tell Vice President Biden that your brother didn't get it, because he did get it, and it is significant because it's how the stimulus worked, and it creates 16 jobs. Now, divide 16 into $107 million and tell me you think that was a good investment of money. It's not a good investment of money. The difference in TARP and the stimulus, nobody wanted to do TARP. The President of the United States currently came in, raised $500,000 for my opponent. He voted for TARP. Her brother voted for TARP. I voted for TARP. Nobody wanted to do it, but the difference is it will all be paid back, and most of it's been paid back already, and that's the difference in that and deficit spending, that nobody ever gets paid back.
Robin Carnahan?
Look, again, this is just a big difference between us about whose side you're going to be on. Congressman Blunt, time and again, is on the side of Wall Street. He can figure out every rationale to give bailouts to Wall Street. He can say that it was great, that it helped our economy. He said it over and over again. But as I travel around the state, it hasn't helped. It hasn't delivered as promised. What we need is a senator who's going to be on our side, that's not going to let the big banks get by with whatever they want. When he was bailing out the banks, I was here in Missouri standing up to them, getting $10 billion back from big financial institutions, from real Missourians and others who'd been taken advantage of. We need somebody in Washington who's ready to do that, to be a fighter on behalf of us. The lobbyists and special interests in big banks, they've got enough people taking care of them, Congressman. We don't need them to have another senator.
Jonathan Dime?
Every year since 1969, the Congress has spent more money than it has taken in. There's a big problem with our deficit spending. I see major issues with both the Republican and Democrat parties fighting over who wishes to spend our tax money, not really who wants to save it for the Americans. I believe the Libertarian Party is the only true friend of the taxpayer, wishing to minimize the role and maximize your economic freedom and liberty.
Okay, we're now ready for questions from media in the audience. Go ahead.
I'm Bob Watson from the Jefferson City News Tribune. The man you all want to replace is a champion of using earmarks in the federal budgeting process. I'd like each of you to define what you think an earmark means, because as I hear people in Congress talking about it, I'm not sure they all have the same definition, and then why you are for it or against it, whether or not you think it has helped the federal process.
This question goes first to Roy Blunt.
Well, Bob, you're right. Kit Bond has fought hard for our state. He's been a competitor for our state, and it's made a difference. You know, one good example of competing for things out there to compete for would be the highway fund. The gas tax provided highway fund doesn't get any bigger or any smaller based on how much we get out of it. And in fact, when I went to Congress, which doesn't seem to me as long ago as Secretary Carnahan would want you to think it was, we were getting back less than 80 cents out of every dollar we sent in. And we've worked collectively to do better at that. In fact, in this highway bill, we got a good formula that first divides the divided part of the formula up by about 94 cents out of 94 cents comes back. And then we were willing to fight for the things that you need to compete for. The projects of national significance part of the gas tax. The money set aside for bridges. Now, we could just decide that we're going to let other states compete for that, and we're not. There's one thing I know about competition. When 98 people are competing and two people aren't, The 98 people may not all get it, but the two people that aren't competing certainly won't get it.
Robin Carnahan.
Earmarks need to be stopped, banned outright. It's a wasteful, corrupted process. It's gotten completely out of control under Congressman Blunt's watch. He's been one of the leaders in Washington. During that time, they went up sevenfold, an extra $225 billion of our money, spent on things like bridges to nowhere and potato museums, and he sits here and defends it. I just think we cannot afford this. It's a wrong approach. We need to have merit and competition in how we spend our tax dollars. And even worse than just waste is when it's corrupt. And we've seen that happen with Congressman Blunt as well, when he slipped something into a bill to help a company in California that later gave quickly later, not just a lot later, a few days later, gave you campaign contributions for the first time, and then you started riding around their corporate jets. I think that's wrong. I think we need to stop that process, clean it up, make it transparent. And Congressman, I've asked before in this campaign for you to release every single earmark request you've ever made. You've refused to do that. I'm not sure why, but I'd like to give you the opportunity again today to tell all of us in the state that you will release every earmark request you've ever made through your tenure so we can see if it's a transparent or corrupt process.
Jonathan Dine.
Earmarks are basically slipped into bills for pet projects for Washington cronies. I would eliminate all earmarks. I'd also fight to repeal the 16th Amendment. I think we should put the money back in the Americans' pockets and let the American people stimulate the economy. What would you do with the 30 to 40% increase in revenue? Start a business, pay off your debt, you know, build a home. But the biggest thing is American people should keep the fruits of their labor. Taxation is almost tantamount to slavery, telling me that this part of my paycheck is deserved by the government so that I can watch Republicans and Democrats both. I'd basically say outrageously spend my money on things that I don't see of necessity or importance to. So I'd like to see a little bit more personal responsibility. Give me back my money. Let me stimulate the economy.
Jerry Beck.
Earmarks are mainly made for the politicians to take in extra revenue on their campaigns. They do some good for the infrastructure and other areas, but mainly we're going to have to restore our factories in the nation. They have sent 42,400 of our manufacturing plants, large and small, to socialist enslaved nations of the world without the intent of ever restoring them to this nation. It is hurting our middle class. It's hurting our unions, AASHTO, the Teamsters, and all the unions. What we must do is start to restore our factories. We start to use the policy, procedures, and solutions to do it. If we don't, we are sitting on an edge of an abyss, and we will topple eventually if we don't start straightening this out.
Rebuttal, Roy Blatt?
Absolutely. In Congress, I've always voted for the smallest budget that anybody would bring to the floor. And that's what I'll do in the Senate. I'll do my very best to keep the federal spending at the lowest possible level. If there are things to compete for, I'm going to compete for them. If we decide nobody's going to compete, that's a different situation. I'm for competing. I'm for competing on top of the table. And in fact, every thing that I've ever competed for has been on my website, just like every vote I've ever taken has been on my website since the first year I was in Congress. And this thing that Robin brought up, this voting for the defense bill, $355 billion that passed 409-15, and her mother voted for it in the Senate. Wonder what her mother's motivation was.
She didn't ride around on anybody's corporate jets.
I can't believe you attacked
take
your own mother on
I'm not. I'm suggesting you shouldn't ride around on their corporate jets. Did you not ride around on their corporate jets?
Do you want me to answer these questions? If she's going to ask the questions, you're going to have to give me time to answer.
Did you ride around on their corporate jets?
Your time for this rebuttal is up. Robin, it's your 30 seconds here. Go ahead.
Did you ride around on their corporate jets?
This is out of your 30 seconds?
Sure. Go ahead if you want to answer.
You know, this is a company that I did some fundraising for California candidates for Congress. I think I was on their plane once. It wasn't a corporate jet. It was a King Air. And I paid to ride on the airplane.
And did they give campaign contributions to you within a few days of
$1,000 at some time within the next 6 months?
Well, we have a record of it being a lot more of that.
This is a $355 billion bill that 409 people voted for. Give me a break. If I hadn't voted for it, it would have been 408-15. Don't act like this is something that I made a difference, that somebody makes a $1,000 contribution And that makes a difference to me.
But the point is, Congressman, you were the top recipient.
Robin, your time is up.
But he took most of
my
time.
No, you gave him
the time.
You gave me your time.
You gave him your time.
Can you give him time?
Jonathan Dine.
You know, this is kind of the behavior that we've gotten from Washington. It's the us versus them mentality, where the bipartisan or the partisan politics gets in the way of providing creative solutions. And it's more about us versus them than what can be good for the American people. The GOP's reputation for fiscal sobriety is over. They're just as eager to fill barrels of pork as the spendthrifts across the aisle. I truly believe that the Libertarian Party is the only true friend of the taxpayer, wanting to minimize the role of the government in the economy.
Jerry Beck.
First of all, we're in serious trouble, everybody. I'm not going to get on Mr. Blunt or Ms. Carnahan, either one, because they've done it quite sufficiently themselves. What I'm going to do is tell the American people what I intend to do when I get to the U.S. Senate. I'm going to open up what is called the American Voice. That will be in all five of these offices. It'll be in the state of Missouri and in Washington, D.C. They can call in. I'll give them a PIN number and a name. And we will discuss how the votes go in the Senate and the House of Representatives and the executive branch. They can call in 24 hours a day, and we will let them know how each and every one of them vote. Thank you.
All right, we're ready for our next question from the audience. Frank.
Frank Martin, the Daily Quill in West Plains. First, I want to congratulate you on not accusing each other of dabbling in witchcraft. That's an improvement.
It's not over yet.
Also, you haven't talked about the theory of evolution or certain physical habits that some candidates have talked about. What you also haven't talked about are concrete plans for creating jobs. Everyone says jobs, 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 and that's pretty much true. Everyone on this panel has talked about the lousy economy, and we hear a lot of crybabies among candidates. Not limited to this group, but nobody has given specific programs what they would do. What I would like you to do is pretend that you wake up tomorrow morning as the absolute benevolent dictators of the United States. You don't have to worry about Congress. You don't have to worry about the public. You don't have to worry about re-election. Tell me what you would do specifically right after you brush your teeth tomorrow morning when you have all the power to do it. Specifics.
Right, this question goes first to you, Robin Carnahan.
Great question. Thanks so much for asking it. The first thing I'd do is refocus on small businesses. That's where jobs are created in our state. 60% of them are created by small businesses. What we've been seeing in Washington for too long is focusing on those that are too big to fail. We know those are the wrong incentives and it doesn't work. The second thing I do is focus on the middle class. That's the folks who need tax breaks. The tax burden has shifted to them way too much over the last couple of decades. We need to get that back in line and not have such a tax burden on them. And what we need to do instead is stop all the loopholes and tax breaks for big oil companies who are making record profits and those companies that are shipping jobs overseas. That needs to happen straight away. The next thing we need to do is really hold Washington accountable for how it spends our money. And that means banning earmarks once and for all, putting real spending caps in place, a lot of the things that were in place before Congressman Blunt took over in the leadership. And I want to go back for 1 second to this issue of lobbyists, because the difference on all of these issues is about the lobbyists and the money. And Congressman Blunt yesterday said he was not the top recipient of lobbyist money in the House of Representatives. And I just want to make sure that that's still true, because I printed out this morning something from Open Secrets that has you here
Robin,
at the top
your
of the list.
Time has expired. Jonathan Dine?
Creating jobs reminds me of the quote, give a man a fish, feed him for a day, teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime. I think the government should take a different approach to creating and fostering jobs. If you really want to create jobs, give people education and training in skilled labor, construction, IT tech, automotive tech, and then foster entrepreneurship. The idea that the federal government create jobs by throwing money at things, it just doesn't hold water with me. I'm a regular guy. I see life from the ground level. I work paycheck to paycheck. The economy, for me, has been the same in this recession as it you know, I don't have lots of money in the stock market to lose. I don't feel the effects of the economy messing up as much as other people who might. But to me, there's jobs out there for you if you want to go out and look. But if the government wants to take a different approach, provide more education, the future of our youth, the future of our country resides in the ability of us to create jobs in the private sector.
Jerry Beck.
First of all, it's fine to help the small businesses, okay? But what we must do is start the policies and the procedures and the solutions to straighten this nation out. I would immediately release an order to bring 50% of our electronics back to the United States. The same with some of our large factories. But most people don't know it takes four small factories to supply one large factory. So every time you bring half of a large factory back, you have to bring two of the small factories back. And that's what has killed our small towns in the state of Missouri and across this nation. Well, we've taken our shoe factories, they've taken our clothing factories out of here. This is why we can't play our police force. In St. Louis, they're laying off a third of their police. In Kansas City, the same. We're laying off a third of our teachers, a third in St. Louis and the rest of these small countries. We have got to reclaim our manufacturing. There's a way to do it without hurting the international people, and there's a way to do it here. It is called the policies, the procedures, and the solutions that businessmen would install.
Roy Blunt.
Well, Frank, I was in West Plains last night, and no matter how much I stretch my imagination, I can't imagine and don't want to be the dictator. But we have an extensive jobs plan. Sarah Steelman was the head of our small business men and women for Blunt. We had input sessions all over the state. It's 137 pages at royblunt.com, which I did mention, I believe, in my opening statement. It's things like more American energy of all kinds, more wind, more solar, more nuclear, more biofuels, more renewables. Here's an area where we use a lot more of something than we produce. We know the market's there. We know we're going to use it. Let's figure out how to find it. And frankly, let's figure out how to find it without penalizing our current energy infrastructure. We're going to have enough energy growth that we need to meet that with new jobs and create a sense of certainty. There's enough uncertainty with creating jobs and investing money and trying to take a chance than without knowing, without believing that your utility bill could double, your taxes are going up, and all the other things that people are uncertain about right now. And it's royblunt.com. It's very detailed, and I hope people look at it.
We're ready for the next question from the audience.
Thank you very much. My name is Michael McSorley. I'm with News Talk 1150 KRMS here in Osage Beach. My question, I guess, deals with the Republican pledge. The pledge contains common sense cuts for seniors. It looks at discretionary domestic spending. We face unfathomable entitlements to the elderly through Medicare and Social Security. We have fewer workers for every retiree. We lack a private health insurance infrastructure for people 65 and older. And we all honestly admit that the Social Security Trust Fund is full of IOUs. What do you tell today's worker about their level of responsibility to the elderly, which would appear to most to be a protected class?
This question goes first to Jonathan Dine.
Well, I don't know too much about the Republican pledge, but I do know a lot about empty promise makers, and I've kind of seen that the culture of Washington is almost say whatever we need to in order to get elected. That's why I'm also a firm supporter of term limits. I think if someone has a term, they're more apt to do something or take on a controversial issue as if they're not worried about being reelected. But we do have to make some tough choices concerning Social Security and Medicare. And those are things that are going to happen pretty soon. I personally would like to see some sort of opt-out where someone over the age of 25 can opt out and start worrying about their own retirement, or provide individual accounts where that money goes to instead of a large collective account so that you know how much money is being pulled away for your retirement as you get older. I just think that those are more common sense steps to take care of. But the people who have already paid into it all their life deserve that entitlement and that security blanket. So to take away something from them would be unjust. So,
Jerry Beck.
First of all, you cannot cut the Social Security or the other entitlements, or you will have a lot of trouble in this country. Number one, you'll have all the old people voting against you.
They want to vote.
What you've got to do is you've got to produce jobs to bring in the taxation so you can support these entitlements. If you do not support jobs and factories, we have to bring our factories back. If we don't, we're going to collapse. America will collapse in a year and a half or before, China in 2 years or before, and the rest of the nations will topple one right after another after that if we don't get this thing straightened up, because the American people does not have enough money to pay off the debts and get this thing back on an even keel. We have got to reinstall our factories in the United States, especially in the state of Missouri.
Roy Blunt.
Well, again, Mr. Beck's absolutely right. You have to have jobs. The private sector jobs are the underpinning of these two programs. Now, everybody pays into Social Security, that work in most government jobs as well. But again, that's not the private sector goal here is the goal. I support Medicare. I support Social Security. I was amazed whenever we look at this new health care bill that I think is a huge mistake in both spending and purpose and what it does. And you fund that by cutting Medicare by $500 billion. I'm certainly glad I wasn't on the side that was willing to cut Medicare by $500 billion over the next 10 years. At the very time when this program that everybody who's worked today and got a paycheck for that work since 1965 is paid into, that you'd cut this program at the very time that we all know it's going to come under its greatest stress. If you could find savings in Medicare, you should find them. But the savings in Medicare should be used to save Medicare, not start a new program. And we need to be sure that both of these programs are programs that people can rely on and that they serve people better than they have in the past.
Robin Carnahan?
I think Social Security is not an entitlement. It's something that people have paid into their whole lives. It's their money. It is a sacred trust. We give it back to them. They are owed that money. It's sacred. Congressman Blunt has voted to privatize it. He's pushed that risky scheme. He said it should have been done years ago, and it would have devastated the life savings of millions of Missourians. Number two, Medicare. It's something that a million people in our state depend on for their health care. Congressman Blunt has said he didn't think it should have been started in the first place. He's not somebody who is supportive of Medicare. I don't understand how you can sit here in front of us and think we're not going to check your record. We've checked. Your record is over and over again voting against Medicare. You bragged about cutting $6 billion from Medicare. You're somebody who has said over and over again that it shouldn't have been started. I just don't understand how you can sit here and expect to tell us these things when your record doesn't prove it. We need folks in Washington who aren't going to say one thing here and do something else in Washington. We need folks that are actually going to be on our side all the time, even when it's hard. And when it comes to Social Security and Medicare, it's something I will stand up on every day. As Secretary of State, I've protected seniors. We have one of the toughest senior protection laws in the whole country, and it's because I got that done.
All right, we'll offer some rebuttal here if you care to have any, Jonathan, on the privatization of Social Security and whether Medicare should exist.
Well, I think we need to look at cost reductions. Besides just funding Medicare, maybe we can look at why is it costing so much. I know that you pay into Social Security all your life and you only receive about $1,000 back. To me, it doesn't seem a very good way to get your retirement going. If you had your own account where your money was put into and at a certain age, you can tap into that and get the full amount so that you would be able to. I'd like to see some reform in the Social Security area in that sense. But it reminds me of an analogy. You go into a hospital and you have a gunshot wound and you're bleeding and they just want to transfuse more blood without actually taking care of the cause and stitching you up so that you don't continue to bleed. That's the same thing I see with the health care issues.
Jerry Beck.
First of all, when in the Senate, I will vote to repeal the health care plan or any other plan that the American people did not vote for. I will vote to seal our borders, and I will protect our American people and our states against any illegal invasion from the southern borders or the northern borders, which we must do. What Ms. Clinton did is absolutely implorable. She voted to turn Arizona over to a third world nation, one of our states that is an American people. That is an absolute disaster for this nation and for her if she tries to run for president of the United States. Thank you.
Roy Blunt?
Well, Secretary Carnahan's comments were just like her ads. I don't even know where to start. I clearly have never voted to privatize Social Security. You can find the voting record. If it's there, I'd like to see it. Yesterday you said I was opposed to Medicare, and your staff put out two comments, neither of which were that. One talked about how until I worked to change Medicare so people could see Medicare before they were ill about Medicare, until we did that, nobody had ever seen any doctor if they were healthy. That started in January 1, 2005, because I worked to make it happen. That was one of your statements, that I was somehow opposed to Medicare. The other one talked about looking for better ways to provide that service even more effectively, and you know it, and those are the two statements
your staff
put out yesterday in response to your pledge. You put out
Roy,
the numerous times
expired,
I said
Roy.
I wasn't for this.
Robin, your turn.
Yeah, thanks. Look, Congressman, you said you didn't think Medicare should have been created in the first place.
I did not say that. And I've got the statement here.
It was pretty clear.
It wasn't clear. It wasn't pretty clear.
And secondly, you said that it's never done anything to make people healthier.
No, I didn't say that. I said they'd never seen anybody when they were healthy.
I don't know why you think you can change the facts. The facts are the facts.
They're right
here. Fact is also, this year, you voted to turn Medicare into a voucher program. Are you going to deny that, too?
I did not do that.
Congressman, we do check these things, and you voted to turn it into a voucher program.
Yeah, I saw how you checked the things from yesterday, and they weren't what you said they were.
All right, the time has expired on that question.
Unbelievable.
In fact, our time is nearly up, and so let me pose one more question to you here. We've heard a lot of criticism today about some of the opponents that you have in this campaign. I was wondering if you could think of at least one nice thing, one nice thing to say about your opponents. And Jerry, you get to go first here.
Well, Mr. Blunt is a very nice-looking gentleman. He dresses very well, and Miss Carnahan is beautiful. And Mr. Dine is a very nice person.
Very well. Roy Blunt.
You know, I'm glad that all of the people here with me have chosen to participate in this process. It's a needlessly tough process, but, you know, it's not nearly as tough as the 50-year-old guy who's out of job for the first time and doesn't know where to turn, and his family's always relied on him. It's not nearly as tough as the person just out of college with a $30,000 debt and they're the pizza delivery guy. Not nearly as tough as the single mom who has more responsibility than anybody should have, but it's not all that easy. And so anybody who participates in the process, I have respect for, and all three of these people have chosen to do that, and that's what I'd have to say.
Robin Carnahan.
Well, I've just met Mr. Beck and Mr. Dine for the first time today, and I thank you all for doing this. I know it's not an easy task, and you said you were nervous, but you did a great job. Mr. Beck, you did a great job as well, and thanks for being here. Congressman Blunt, I followed as Secretary of State after a few people in the interim, and he did some good things as Secretary of State. I've continued some of those things, and I think as when he was here in Missouri, he was a terrific public servant, did a lot of good things for us, which is, to me, why I'm disappointed that it hasn't worked out the same way in Washington. So I'm sorry I had to put that in, Congressman, but it's true. I mean, you wanted what motivates
me. You can't
help
yourself, right?
Yeah, because it's true. And so if you'd brought that same dedication to Washington, I think we'd be better off.
Jonathan Dine.
I think everybody up here honors our democracy and allows their own constituents to be represented. We have a lot of diversity in America. So we need our leaders to be as diverse as we are. I think everyone here is very well-spoken, intelligent, has great ideas, and I'm honored to stand to sit up here and kind of debate the issues with them as well. I think both Roy Blunt and Robin Carnahan are excellent fundraisers. They've both raised $8 million and $7 million apiece. I've only got about $1,000 raised, but those are good talents that you'll need. Those are also favors that you'll have to pay back when you do get into office. But I think everybody here has done a great job in standing up for the constituents that they represent and letting their voices be heard.
All right. Hopefully we don't have to offer rebuttal about the nice things we say. It's now time for our closing statements. Again, the candidates have 2 minutes each to deliver their closing statements. We'll go in the reverse order that we did at the beginning. And that means, Jerry Beck, you're first.
Thank you so much. I'd like to thank the Associated Press and every one of you here that is here today, because you hold in your hand the pen that can straighten out this nation, just as Thomas Paine did at one time. It is a press that can begin to straighten out our nation. All of you sitting here hold the power to bring it to the American people. What I would like to see you guys do when you go back to your respected offices and place is to write something positive that will bring the American people up, that will help them to have hope and opportunity to go ahead and get through these troubled times that are to come. To let the policemen know that they're going to be hard again, that teachers that they can have their jobs again, that we're going to do something to restore our factories and our jobs to the middle class and our unions, that we will try with everything we've got and from the goodness of our heart to bring America out of this abyss we're in, because we are teetering on the edge of an abyss. And we need all the help from each and every one of you people out here we can get. I'd like to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm honored to speak in front of each and every one of you today. Honored. Thank you so much.
Robin Carnahan, you're second.
Well, thanks, David, and thanks to everyone in the Press Association for hosting this. I'm finally glad that you all got to see all of us in one room together instead of just looking at these negative attack ads that we're all so sick and tired of. I wish we could actually do more of these. A long time ago, Harry Truman said, he described Washington as a place where it's easy to forget where you came from and why you ever went there in the first place. So it's sad to me that that's what seems to have happened to Congressman Blunt, because I can't explain his 14-year record in any other way. Giving sweetheart deals to lobbyists, exploding the deficit, bailing out Wall Street, and sticking us with the bill. Here in Missouri, we've got common sense. If you put somebody in charge of something, they're doing it for 14 years, the budget is busted, you're worse off than when you started, you don't give that person a promotion. To me, I think it's time we fix what's broken in Washington, and that's never going to happen if we keep sending the same old people out there that got us into this mess to do the same thing to us again. My priorities are different. I think we need to focus on small businesses. That's where you create jobs, not on those that are too big to fail. I think we need to focus on middle-class tax cuts, not on giving tax breaks to folks who ship jobs overseas. And I think we've got to hold government accountable for how we spend our money, and that means banning earmarked spending once and for all. You can see more about my plans for these things on my website. It's robincarnahan.com. In the end, though, this election gets to be a choice. It's a choice. I've worked for Missourians for my time in office. Congressman Blunt has been working for the Washington special interests. It's that simple. We get to have a senator for Missouri or for Washington. The good news is you get to decide. I'm Robin Carnahan. I'll never forget where I came from. I'll never forget who I work for. And I'd appreciate your vote on November 2nd.
Roy Blunt.
Well, you know, this whole campaign could have been, and I've tried to make it a campaign about the issues. Robin Carnahan and I, as far as I know, don't agree on any of them. And frankly, 4 years ago, the American people did turn over Washington to another group. Nancy Pelosi became Speaker. Harry Reid became the majority leader. And if you think they need more help, you should send Robin Carnahan. If you think we need to head in another direction, look at what we've talked about. Look what I've talked about, 800 events, 18 months, and look at the record. Look at the record. Look at the record when Missouri's law enforcement officers came to me and said, we've got a big problem with meth in our state. And we passed the Combat Meth Act, had to take on the pharmaceutical companies, had to take on lots of people to get that done. It was because I listened to Missouri's law enforcement community. When we weren't listening to our foreign enemies, and we literally had shut down our listening to our foreign enemies a few years ago, Kit Bond and I, along with Steny Hoyer, the majority leader at the time, passed the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act so we'd start listening. When I saw kids at these Special Olympics competitions that had problems and nobody was quite diagnosing what they all were, we added a little bit of to Special Olympics called Healthy Athletes, where they have screenings that they've never had before. Whenever I have worked for the smallest possible budget or to take on the entitlement programs, for the only time anybody's done it in 10 years, where we successfully were able to reform those programs in a way that reduced the cost by $40 billion, that's because I was listening to Missourians. Talk to the people in our state who I've worked for, who I've worked with, including those I've listened to during the course of this campaign. I've been talking about the issues. I've been very specific. And this is fundamentally, at its bottom root, an election about whether we live in a country where the government is bigger than the people, or do we want to live in a country where the people are bigger than the government. I'm for the people being bigger than the government.
Jonathan Dine.
You know, after this debate, I've come to the conclusion that I don't think either party is serious about reducing the size of government and government spending, restoring your civil liberties, and lowering your tax burden. We've all seen the commercials that play nonstop from the Blunt and Carnahan campaign. I would have to agree with them. They are both bad for Missouri. I do not see real leadership qualities or devotion to the Constitution from either of my opponents running for this office. I see empty promise makers ready to march in step with their own party's agenda. Does anyone really think that these two parties have done a good enough job to deserve exclusivity in the political process? It's time to stop voting for the lesser of two evils. Now is the time to vote Libertarian. I truly believe the political system would be better off if more acceptance and credibility were given to independence. An independent elected politician would be more apt to think outside the box and generate creative solutions instead of the same ones the old parties regurgitate year after year. I am not a politician. I see life from the ground level. I don't look down to see it or have to ask anybody what it's like. I live it and feel it every day. I have an open mind and will listen to the people of this state. As your senator, I represent you. I am your voice. When I vote on bills or propose legislation, I'll remember my life experiences and the people I represent, not a party or a lobbyist. I'm ready to stand up for all your freedoms, both economic and personal. I'm ready to start reining in government spending and overregulation. It's time to remind our government that we, the people, are the rightful masters of both the courts and the Congress. So remember, when you go to the voting polls, that your worries are mine, and please vote Dine.
All right, well, thank you. That does conclude our forum for the Senate candidates. Now would be the appropriate time to applaud.